Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The 39 Steps, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, or The Hunt for Red October. Are you a fan of intrigue, love nothing better than getting stuck into a real page-turner of a spy thriller? Or perhaps you prefer to watch your favourite secret agents like Carrie Mathison in Homeland, Spooks, or the quintessential James Bond on screen. Whatever your preference, we are going to talk about our favourite spies, depicted in books and on the big and small screen for the next few minutes. To take us through the various books and films that we should be checking out, I'm joined in studio by Deirdre Malumbi, pop culture and entertainment expert, and from our Waterford studio by librarian Tracy McEnany. Good morning to you both, ladies. Tracy, first off, what makes a great spy book? Who are your favourite spy characters?
Before I begin, I just have to say that if you're looking for spy books, go into your local bookshop or go into your local library and ask for suggestions. But what makes a really good spy book is you have to have great character, plot twists, suspense. You need to have a spy with feelings. You have to be able to see why he does what he does. Is it for the good for the country? Is it revenge? Has been born into, you know, his mother and father were spies. When you think of spies, you always think of the ultimate spy, which is James Bond. Now, he's gorgeous, he's intelligent, a bit like yourself, a charmer. He's able to get out of situations of danger, but he's believable. And there's always a good cat and mouse between the Russians, the Americans and the British. But today actually marks the 70th anniversary of Ian Fleming's first Bond book, which was Casino Royale.
I'm surprised to hear you praise them this way, because I have to say I read one of them about 6-7 years ago now for the first time. I didn't think that they had stood the test of time very well.
Well, other authors now are writing them. You know that it's like Anthony Horowitz have written one. Mm-hmm. You've got William Boyd, Jeffrey Deaver, Sebastian Fox. But we are having younger people now coming to read those books. And when I say younger people, I'm talking like 12 years of age. And they are having a new James Bond book out, and it's by Charlie Higson is going to write this, and he is the author of the Young Bond series that they do for young adults, and it's also to celebrate the coronation of King Charles III, and that will go like hotcakes in Waterford libraries.
I'm sure it will, but the Ian Fleming originals, my God, the misogyny drips off the page.
We just have to take them for what they are. I would have grown up with James Bond spy films, and I absolutely love them. And I've grown up into a balanced human being, and and only have one man in my life. So I just enjoy the big James Bond, and I just enjoy books for what they are—a fiction, a bit of escapism,
okay,
and something to enjoy.
Deirdre Malumbi, you've seen all the films. Has it turned you into a homicidal serial womanizer?
You know, it's funny. I actually can't watch the older James Bond movies. I find them so cringy and uncomfortable. And look, there are problematic elements of Bond. I don't think that we can shy away from that. It's been talked about extensively at this point. When you look at those old James Bond movies, there are examples of sexual harassment, assault, racism, homophobia, and toxic masculinity throughout those old movies. So in
inexcusably cheesy, an awful lot of them. And even the Irish Bond, Pierce Brosnan, to my mind, only had one good film, Goldeneye. The rest of them were pretty heavy on the fromage.
See, I don't mind the Pierce Brosnan ones as much, because I think that you can kind of embrace the camp nature of them. And I think, you know, for all of the, you know, complaints that are held against him, I think that Daniel Craig does not get enough credit for what he did in terms of that character, in terms of reinventing him. He has left quite a legacy, and I think it's going to be a really tough job to follow him. Like, for my money, Casino Royale and Skyfall are the best Bond movies. Mm-hmm. They got such high praise among critics. They were huge box office successes. So it was the critics and the audiences that both absolutely
loved
them.
But they had to do something to update them, didn't they? Because you had running in parallel to the James Bond movies, the Jason Bourne movies, which had completely revolutionized this genre.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, you know, everyone kind of goes to James Bond as that go-to example. But Jason Bourne and what Matt Damon did with that character is absolutely extraordinary. And the other iconic spy that we have to mention here, of course, is Ethan Hunt, played by Tom Cruise of the Mission Impossible series. There are two more films of those on the way, one of which hit cinemas this year. And these have been a huge box office draw. So really, when it comes to the big screen, everybody wants to see those favourite spies.
Tracy, when a film comes out for which has been made or adapted from a book, do you see a spike or an increase in the numbers of people looking to borrow it?
Absolutely. It's great when we see book adaptations. And Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan series, he's made five films out of this. And of course, people come time and time again back to his books. There's 34 books in the series. But also one that is very popular at the moment is A Spy Among Friends. And this was recently a TV...
Oh, this is the Damian Lewis one,
yeah. Exactly. Now, again, you mentioned there John le Carré, who was the godfather of spy books, right? Now, his life story reads like a spy novel. He was known as David John Moore Cornwell. His pen name was John le Carré. He was in the MI5 when he first published his first book, Call of Dead. And then he changed over to MI6 and he wrote A Murder of Quality. And then his third book, of course, became an international bestseller, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. But in 1964, his career as an intelligence officer came to an end due to the betrayal of the British agents over to the KGB by Kim Philby. And of course, Kim Philby is the main character in A Spy Among Friends. And because he was a double agent, he was one of the Cambridge Five, which was the ring of spies who passed information to the Soviets during the World War II until the end of the Cold War. But I'm actually currently listening to Ben McIntyre, A Spy Among Friends. And I've just finished listening to Silverview, which would be John le Carré's last book. And it was published just after his death. And you must definitely take a look at BorrowBox. That's our app for free books and e-audiobooks.
And my kids use it very regularly. Silverview was very, very interesting, wasn't it? Because an awful lot of John le Carré's books had started to feel very similar. But in that final book, the one at which he takes aim at Brexit, was really quite poignant and a fitting full stop to his career.
Absolutely. And of course, he became an Irish citizen because he was fed up with Brexit in 2020. He died in 2020, but he became an Irish citizen in 2020 as well. But a lot of spy books, like, you have to, if you ever read Journey into Fear, Eric Ambler, that's another one. That's sort of a good old fashioned spy story set in 1940. I suppose John le Carré and Eric Ambler have people that just happen to fall into spies. Like in Eric Ambler, you've got a British arms engineer who's just finished technical preparations to improve the Turkish Navy. He is set to leave to go home back to England. He ends up in a nightclub, given the eye from a woman across the room, gets involved in her. He also notices someone watching him. He returns, he comes to his senses and says, I have a wife back in England, goes back to his hotel alone and gets shot. Then he's supposed to get the train back to England, but the head of police says, no, you can't go back by train, you have to go by boat instead, it'll be safer. They send him on the boat. There's only five people on this boat. They're all vetted, but of course, you can't trust anybody nowadays, so it's a really good book.
Deirdre, another very popular adaptation that's done quite well for Apple TV is the Gary Oldman in the role of Jackson Lamb and the Slow Horses adaptations. Did you enjoy these?
Yeah, I did actually quite enjoy these. Yeah, I thought that Gary Oldman was great as the character of Jackson Lamb, although I'm not a big fan of fart jokes and there were a few too many in the series. That is the only flaw I would say against it. Yeah, but Slow Horses is really good fun. The first two seasons of it are on Apple TV now. I particularly enjoyed the first season and it's got a finale that will just have you on the edge of your seat. It is so, so exciting. But this is kind of a bit of a fun one because we're following a dysfunctional team of MI5 agents who you wouldn't necessarily associate with being kind of these, you know, top-notch, very slick spies. There's something a bit kind of clumsy and awkward about them, but that's kind of part of the appeal, I think. And it's really good fun, really strong ensemble acting, and there's a sense of mystery to keep it in... to keep the viewer invested as well. But I think that, you know, spy thrillers, when it comes to TV series, have gotten to the point that every streaming service kind of has their own going for it now, because it is a genre that so many audiences are invested in. We've talked a bit about Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan and the TV adaptation of that for Prime Video, which stars John Krasinski, who people would have associated most with playing Jim in The Office. He is in the titular role, but that series has absolutely like taken off for Prime Video, and it's gotten a lot of new subscribers as a result of the popularity of this series. It has some absolutely terrific action set pieces in it. Netflix as well, that has a lot of spy series in it. It has Homeland, which is streaming now, which is kind of a go-to one that a lot have seen. Claire Danes plays Carrie Matheson in it. She's a CIA operative, and we follow all her covert work for the agency. I did find myself drifting slightly away from this series because some of my favourite characters met their untimely deaths, I think. But it is phenomenal TV writing and features some terrific performances. And actually, the number one series on Netflix at the moment is also a spy series. It's called The Night Agent. It's the next one I have on my watch list, actually. But this follows an FBI agent who answers a call while monitoring an emergency line, and he ends up plunged into this conspiracy involving a mole at the White House. And it's interesting, even though this one has gotten more of a mixed reception critically, I think it's 60-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. Clearly, audiences absolutely love it because it's number one across Ireland and the UK at the moment for most watched TV series.
I think we also have to add a special mention, honourable mention here for Tom Cruise's Ethan Hunt. We were just talking about this as you came in, that whatever your view of Tom Cruise, love him or loathe him, but the last Mission Impossible Fallout, I watched it with the kids over the Easter break. My God, that's thrills and spills.
It's absolutely fantastic. And actually, if you watch, last year I watched all the Mission Impossible movies from number one to number six. And when you watch, the caliber of action just go up and up and up. And there's something about the first Mission Impossible movie that does kind of have this old school spy thriller feel about it, which is actually quite charming. Now, the second and the third one, they do start to dip a little in quality at that stage. But once you get into Ghost Protocol, Rogue Agent, and particularly Fallout, just the action set pieces in those films are just absolutely spectacular. And they're the kind of movies that you don't necessarily need to know exactly everything that's happening in it, but you're so enraptured by what is unfolding on the big screen. It's terrific.
Now, pretty much every single, exclusively every single spy that we've mentioned here so far has been a man, Tracy, but there are plenty of books out there about female spies. Who do you want to give honourable mention to?
I have to give a mention to City of Spies. This is by Mara Timmon. It's her debut novel. It's free on her ebooks and the audiobooks and Borrow Box, of course. It's a fantastic book that will keep you intrigued until the end. It's James Bond, but in woman form. It's set in Lisbon. If you're going to Lisbon on your holidays or have been to Lisbon, this is the book for you. It mentions Sintra, Estoril, Qashqai. It's so gorgeous. It's 1943. Elizabeth de Mornay, she's a code name Cecile. She's just escaped from the Nazi-occupied France. She receives new orders. She has to infiltrate high society in neutral Lisbon to find out who is leaking information to the Germans about the British troops' movements. She adopts the personality of Solange Vernon. She pretends to be a French widow. She quickly becomes part of the high society, and but of course everybody is watching her. She doesn't know who to trust, who's friend or foe. She falls in love, of course, with a German major, I should say. But this book is just got knife throwing, it's got car chases, it's got break-ins, it's got bodies piling up, it's a bit of romance, it's got the full package.
Deirdre, female spies on screen?
Yes, Spy is a movie that immediately comes to mind here. This is kind of more of the spy comedy genre, I would describe it as. It's directed by Paul Feig, who would have also been behind Bridesmaids. And it actually features two of his bridesmaid stars in Melissa McCarthy and Rose Byrne. It adapts slightly from Jack Ryan in that Melissa McCarthy plays this desk-bound CIA analyst who ends up kind of being thrown into the world of, undercover spy work. And it's just a very funny film, really entertaining. It takes some twists and turns that you don't see coming. Atomic Blonde would be another great example here. Charlize Theron plays an undercover MI6 agent who's sent to Berlin during the Cold War to investigate the murder of a fellow agent. This is directed by David Leitch, who'd be best known for the John Wick franchise, which has the latest movie out now. But in terms of the action genre, it's just absolutely top notch. Atomic Blonde features this great sequence set on a staircase, which is just a standout. I won't get into too many details, but it's just so cool. And a very rather expert use of high heels is also used in this film. And I also, of course, have to give a shout out here to Zero Dark Thirty, directed by Catherine Bigelow.
I was just going to say, why were you leaving out Jessica Chastain, directed by Catherine Bigelow?
Yes, I have to mention this one here.
Somewhat true story.
Yeah. And the thing is, this movie, I would say, as well as Homeland, I think that so often, both on the small and big screen, we get this very romanticized version of the spy world. But I think that this movie and that series, respectively, for my money anyway, they're some of the better examples of really exposing the more sinister and the more morally questionable activities of agencies like the CIA. And they're really, really kind of all immersing in that way.
Tracy, what are the Irish spy books? I can only off the top of my head think of Riddle of the Sands by Erskine Childers, but presumably there are others, are there?
There are. I didn't come across that many. There's Northern Spy by Flynn Berry. This would have been the Reese Witherspoon pick. It's the story of two sisters who become entangled with the IRA. But I have to give a quick mention to Alan Johnson. Now, this is The Last Train to Gypsy Hill. This is a debut novel, but again, really, really good. And again, he left politics in 2017, and he published a fiction book at the age of 71. So follow your dreams and you can keep on writing. It's never too late to publish your books. But I was thinking of you today, actually, Philip, and I know you like your food. There is a festival of the West Waterford Festival of Food down in Dungarvan this weekend that you might like, and the sun is shining here, so get yourself down to Waterford, and we can even provide you with a cheap house if you like and move down altogether.
Really?
Oh yeah.
A cheap house?
Oh yeah. We have it all here.
For how long? For forever?
Oh, forever and ever. A charmer like yourself. We'd love to have you in Waterford, of course. Do you know what I mean?
I went to school in Waterford.
Oh, did you?
Very, very fond connections with Waterford indeed. All right. Mm-hmm. None of that is going to delay us or detain us any further, though. Deirdre Mullumby and Tracy, thank you both very much. We're going to take a break.
51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.